This podcast is for investment professionals only. The value of investments and the income from them may go down as well as up, and investors may not get back the amounts originally invested. Past performance is not a guide to future performance. The information is not an offer, solicitation, or recommendation of any funds, services, or products, or to adopt any investment strategy.
Well, good day, everyone. Happy New Year, and welcome to the first 2021 edition of the U.S. Lens. I'm Ron Insana, senior advisor to Schroders. And the year has kicked off in ways that we had not quite imagined. It's certainly, in a certain sense, picking up right where 2020 left off with a great deal of uncertainty, even though there appears to be some light at the end of the tunnel when it comes to the pandemic. There have been concerns around that and political turmoil in the U.S., resolution to some concerns in Europe around Brexit, but still open concerns about how the U.S. and global economies will fare as we move through the year. Joining me now to talk about that is Azad Zangana. He is chief European and international economist for Schroders, joining us today to chat about all this. Azad, thanks very much for being with us.
Oh, thank you for having me again.
You know, it's hard to start this conversation without first reviewing what's transpired in the United States over the last 5 days and the possibility that we'll see an article of impeachment introduced to the House of Representatives, the second against President Trump, concerns about violence in this nation's capital, concerns about a change in administration, which we'll get to down the road. But the week has been so extremely volatile, even as other situations like Brexit have apparently resolved themselves. How do you view the world today?
It's interesting because financial markets have largely not reacted to the events in the US. So maybe that's a symptom of President Trump nearing the end of his tenure, and therefore the markets are a little bit more forward focused to hopefully better times to come. But it's interesting how calm everything has been.
Yeah, let me ask you why. And in addition to the, maybe coming to the end of the president's term, particularly given that the U.S. Capitol hasn't been attacked since the War of 1812, and it was in many ways a shock to this nation's system, and possibly in a manner we can't yet fully appreciate. Is it just that there's so much liquidity in the world right now, so much so-called cash on the sidelines, and potentially maybe the prospects for the end of the pandemic, that the market's simply looking through everything in the short run to a better second half of 2021?
Yes, I think so. The liquidity has clearly played an important role in especially keeping bond yields very low, and which is sort of supportive for risk assets. There was some talk amongst investors of the potential risk for a disruptive end to the president's tenure. But I guess perhaps some complacency crept in, certainly for the security around the White House. I think that's very evident from the pictures that we're seeing. But for markets, it's much more that, they see this as perhaps some damage to the US's reputation in the long term, but more importantly, that a lot of uncertainty around some of the erratic behaviors of the president are coming to an end. Mm-hmm. And instead, they're looking forward to a safe pair of hands taking over the administration. But as you mentioned, the liquidity, I think, is very important. And fundamentally, investors are thinking, well, does this really matter for the profitability of my company that I've invested in? No, it doesn't. Not in the slightest. Perhaps if there was an election coming up, then we'd be more concerned. But the election is done, the result is known, and progress is being made.
All right, so before I get to the rest of the world, let me just follow up on that very issue. The fact that the election is done, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris will be, in fact, however it happens, sworn in on January 20th, 9 days from now. My take on Friday, given again, as you say, the calm nature with which the markets have dealt with these issues, is stimulus and stability may be the key words in the United States. You think that's fair?
Absolutely, especially since we received the result from the Georgia Senate runoff. The Democrats now have control of the Senate, which should mean even more fiscal stimulus than was expected only a few days ago. So the markets have had to respond to this upside news at a time when, of course, we're seeing the distressing images around what's happening in the Capitol building.
So before I leave the U.S., just a couple of quick questions. Number one, the rotation trade that we now call the Schroeder's trade has worked, big to small, growth to value, domestic to international. And now we're also seeing a reflation trade on with commodities moving higher, stocks moving higher. And in the U.S. in particular, interest rates moving higher, the yield on the 10-year Treasury at about 1.1%. Is there a reflation to inflation trade joining the Schroeder's trade that we've talked about?
Not yet, no. When we're thinking about the inflation prospects, we're still reasonably calm that we're not going to see rampant inflation coming through anytime in the next few years. And that's just because unemployment is still elevated. We still have excess spare capacity in a number of areas. Where we are seeing pockets of inflation is where we've had supply constraints, which will naturally be resolved over the next probably 12 to 24 months. Some companies simply can't get hold of the stocks they need in order to satisfy the demand that is in place. That's naturally raising prices. But over time, you will see more companies finding solutions to these stock shortages, and eventually competition takes over and that drives down the price. So we're not too worried about it at this stage. We would begin to worry if we start seeing the higher inflation translating into wage inflation. Mm-hmm. Again, we've just not seen that. And the latest non-farm payrolls print, which saw quite a substantial fall in monthly jobs created in November, I believe, was disappointing, which shows that there is still concerns around the lack of demand in the economy and companies not able to go back to normal operations. Now, this will eventually clear up, but because of this, we're not turning the reflation trade into an inflation trade.
On Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, you're listening to the Investor Download.
All right, let's leave the U.S. and go to the U.K. Two things there. Brexit has come and gone. It's still somewhat unclear as to what the ultimate implications are. We've heard from the French, for instance, they've had difficult times getting deliveries of certain goods because of the various new trade rules and transit rules that have been put in place. Is Brexit done, or are there still longer-term implications that may take time to play out?
Brexit is largely done, but there are some outstanding issues that have to be cleared up. And because the new trade agreement that was agreed at the end of last year is quite open in that it's like a living trade agreement. As things evolve, as governments decide to change standards, we could see some additional tariffs being brought in the future. So let me explain a little bit. The agreement means that there will be, as things stand, no tariffs, no quotas on any trade in goods between both sides. However, there's an agreement that neither side can lower its standards on production, on labor laws, on state aid, and on environmental standards. If either side believes the other has lowered those standards in order to gain a competitive advantage, then they have the right to impose tariffs. Now, either side has the ability to change standards or to impose regulations, but they mustn't toughen them any further than they are today. So if the UK suddenly decides that it wants to lower standards on something to do with the environment, for example, then it knows that it may face tariffs as a result, and therefore it could evolve going forward. The areas that are left outstanding are financial services. In fact, services overall are totally excluded from the agreement. If a service company wants to do business internationally now, it has to have a subsidiary in the other location. For financial services, this is complicated because obviously it's a global market. There is hope of a negotiated memorandum of understanding by the end of the first quarter, which should allow some businesses to carry on. But in a lot of respects, especially for investment banking, many areas of business will now leave the UK and shift to the European Union. For asset management, there's not really much of a change. Actually, things will carry on largely as expected.
Nice to know. What's carrying on as unexpected is the path of the pandemic. Now that the UK has a variant of the original strain, the UK is on effectively total lockdown. The US has now experienced the carryover of that strain as well. How much does this alter the outlook for how quickly the pandemic passes? It's been said, at least for the moment, that the various vaccines that are available still work against both the UK and the South African strains that have become prevalent of late. Where do we stand in all this?
There was always a concern that new variants would come about, but the scientists have warned that if it is only a small variation in the virus, which naturally happens because the virus wants to survive, wants to increase its spread, then the vaccine should continue to work. There has been some concern that the South African variant does have a significant change in its spike protein, which is exactly what the vaccines use to stop the virus. And this is one of our big risk scenarios for later this year. If we see a variant come through with a large difference in the spike protein, then some of these vaccines may become less effective. And therefore, we could end up seeing further restrictions, not this year, but maybe the end of 2021, early 2022, in the next winter, which we know is when we're likely to see a bigger spread of the virus. It is only a risk scenario. Our central view is that the vaccines work, and vaccines can be developed quickly now to combat any changes in the variants. But it's more likely that COVID-19 becomes a little bit like the common flu. Susceptible, vulnerable people will have to have top-ups of the vaccines going forward.
Final question then. As we put all this in the hopper and you look also at the rest of the world, do we just assume that markets move forward, that inflation remains relatively quiescent, and that in at least in the U.S., a Democratic administration means more money, and hence we see a recovery in the global and UK and US economies throughout 2021?
Yes, I mean, for now, our playbook of the rotations carries on. In fact, it probably continues to move from the US domestic markets to the international. Given the difference in valuations, I think it's very important for investors to really look out there and see which are the markets that have been left behind and have a great deal of potential to catch up with the reflation trade. If we do start seeing some meaningful inflation coming through, central banks will eventually start talking about tightening monetary policy, maybe not this year, but maybe next year. But that in itself could be very beneficial for the banking sector, for a number of other areas which have largely lagged behind in this recovery.
All right. Azad, thanks so much. Happy New Year. Appreciate your insights today.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you too.
Azad Zangana, who is senior European economist and strategist at Schroders. I'm Ron Insana. This has been the US Lens. We'll talk to you again soon.
That was the show. We very much hope you enjoyed it. If you want to read more about any of the subjects we've spoken about in these shows, go to schroders.com/insights. You can listen to a whole back catalogue at schroders.com/the investor download. If you want to get in touch with us, it's schroderspodcast@schroders.com. Feel free to pose any questions. And if you want to rate, review, and subscribe to us, you can do that via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, with new shows available on a Monday and Thursday from 5 p.m. UK time. But most importantly, keep safe and go well. Cheers.